Before we start today's show, we want to let you guys know about our sponsor. Are you tired of the stress and hassle of tax preparation? Well, look no further. The experienced tax consultants at Cambrise Tax Consultants are here to help you navigate the complex world of taxes. They offer expert tax preparation services for individuals, small businesses, and real estate investors. From maximizing your deductions to minimizing your tax liability, they have got your back like chiropractic. Don't wait until the last minute. Call them today and let them take care of all of your tax needs. You can contact them at 901-605-4925. Again, that's 901-605-4925. Or you can visit their website at www.cambricetaxconsulting.com. Again, the website is www.cambricetaxconsulting.com for more information. Trust them to handle all of your tax needs so you can focus on what really matters. Cambrise Tax Consulting. Now, to the show. You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us, and we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Texans, S as in Steelers, M as in Michigan. Kennedy Miller.
What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Where can the folks find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, that's underscore Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right. And I said S as in Steelers, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, because the Pittsburgh Steelers have just gotten themselves a brand new quarterback in free agency. Russell Wilson is taking himself, Sierra, Baby Future, and that entire basketball team of kids, and they're going to go to Pittsburgh this year. So, Kennedy Miller, are you on the same wavelength as I am? Because I don't know at this point how much better Russell Wilson at age 34, 35 makes Pittsburgh. You know what I'm saying?
Selfishly, I want it to work because I like Mike Tomlin. I love the streak of not having a losing record in his entire coaching tenure. I just think the Russell Wilson that we knew in Seattle is gone. I don't think being 2 years removed from playing at that level, he's going to get it back just by a change of scenery and then playing in the division that he's going to be in, right? So he leading from playing against, you know, Patrick Mahomes to arguably one of the toughest divisions in the NFL with the Browns, who've gotten better, the Bengals, who always have a chance with Joe Burrow, and then the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP. So that's going to be a tough six games already that you're going to have to play. And then, you know, it was problems that, you know, Steelers fans had, not just with Kenny Pickett, but with the offensive coordinator. I'm not sure how much Russell Wilson makes the Steelers better. But I hope in some way, shape, or form, the great Mike Tomlin can figure out a way to semi-resurrect his career, that career being Russell Wilson's, be able to sneak into a playoff spot. That's what I'm hoping. I wouldn't put money on Prize Picks for it, though.
Sound like you've lost some money already on Prize Picks, dog.
Hey, that's another podcast for another day, because I don't want to talk about that, what they did to me in that Super Bowl.
Wait, hold on. You put money on Brock Purdy?
I almost had $500, Alex. Like, I was so close to having... I had Brock Purdy going over 14 yards rushing, or it might have been over 13 and a half yards rushing, something like that. Why did he get to 13?
Oh,
that was the last thing I needed. Like, I had like an over on Christian McCaffrey. He did it. I had one of the kickers. It was like either kicker kicks a field goal over 45 yards. Got
they
it.
Both kicked like 55 yards.
Exactly. And then it was one more. I think it was what's the receiver from Kansas City?
Valdez Scantling.
It was over like 20 yards or something like that. I got it. The last thing I needed was Brock Purdy to go one more yard, and he didn't do it.
And I'm not gonna lie, you made some of the safest bets. You like Valdez Scantling 20 yards,
right?
Like Brock Purdy 13 rushing yards. You're like, he can get that on one good scamper.
It was and he ran too. And then like he had like 13 and then he took a knee. Like either right before halftime or like to end the game. And like, of course, that drops him a yard. I said, this is some bull. Because ain't no way that I lost out on some money because of that.
Oh man. Like, so I'll say this about this, and I think this applies to Russell Wilson and to Kirk Cousins, who the Atlanta Falcons signed, who we'll get to a little bit later. Sheesh. This kind of shows you how hard it is to get good to great quarterback play mm-hmm. consistently, because this Pittsburgh Steelers are signing Russell Wilson to a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. And this is after Denver said, yeah, we'll just eat $85 million in dead cap because you're not good.
Right.
And now, of course, Russell Wilson wasn't like the sole problem in Denver. I mean, let's just start off with the fact that Nathaniel Hackett, and you have heard me on this show ridicule Nathaniel Hackett. But for those of y'all who don't know how bad Nathaniel Hackett was, Kennedy Miller, name the last time there was a white NFL coach who didn't finish his first season on the job.
That's crazy.
Even David Culley got to finish that year with the Texans. You know what I'm saying? I always say, there are some people who are so good or so bad at something, they make you, regular person, think you can do it. Nathaniel Hackett was such a bad head coach, such a bad play caller, such a bad coordinator. I'm like, shit, I can do a better job than him. I could do this job, because clearly this fool don't know how to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have it. But the thing gets to Sean Payton, the situation never really fully gets rectified. And it's a wrap on that, right? So the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to try to sign a guy that another team just said, yeah, we'll just eat all the money just so this dude isn't here anymore, and in hopes that this guy can give us something, right? And I think this really shows us how, if it's not already evident already, how hard it is to get great quarterback play or even competent quarterback play. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many teams could you legitimately look at over the past two decades or so that have had consistent quarterback play over time, whether it's a quarterback or a quarterback retires and then they have to go get another one, right? Mm-hmm. Green Bay.
Yep.
Like, and now that Jordan Love appears to be a thing, Green Bay has gone 30 years, great quarterback play.
Rarity.
Crazy. They've gone a full generation, good quarterback play. You know who I would say is second on that list, or third on that list, rather? Dallas. Dallas goes from Tony Romo from like 05 to 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And then right over to Dak. Right now, I know you've got your complaints about Tony Romo and Dak Prescott. I know that you do. But do you understand how many teams would kill to have like level of competent quarterback play? You know what I'm saying? Look at where New England is right now. Mm-hmm. Right? Had Tom Brady all those years. Bill Belichick ruined Mac Jones with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. And now they're back at the well again. Chicago's going to draft. This is 2024. This is going to be the third time Chicago has drafted a quarterback in the top 12 in the last 7 years. It is hard to find good to great, not even good to great. It is hard to find competent quarterback play. Hell, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just had to give Baker Mayfield $100 million.
Yeah.
Like, the Atlanta Falcons have to give Kirk Cousins $180 million. And he's 35 years old, coming off a torn Achilles, and he will throw short of the sticks on fourth in the season in the playoffs. That's how hard it is to get good quarterback play. Now, I don't know how well this is going to work for Pittsburgh, because they're in a really tough division. Even before they got Russell Wilson, at best, they're fighting for third. At absolute best, like, they really max this thing out, they're probably fighting for third. Them or Cleveland.
Yep.
But I don't know how much better Russell Wilson makes them just by walking through the door in 2024. I'm not sure. You know what I'm saying? And I do have this other side question, right? You think Sierra and the kids are coming with him?
Pittsburgh?
You think he can sell Sierra on Pittsburgh? Because, like, she been in Atlanta, living in Atlanta all that time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you can sell Seattle. You know what I'm saying? You can sell Seattle. You know what I'm talking about? You can sell Denver. I'm saying Denver's beautiful, beautiful place, right?
Right.
How you think he going to be able to sell Pittsburgh? Boy, if I was Sierra, I'd be like, no, I gotta ask. I can't all them oil, all them steel mills on my asthma, my breathing. I gotta drop in, drop out on the weekend. You know, I gotta go for court. I gotta go to the studio.
I think they so in love. She'll go wherever he go. She drop babies like every year.
she dropping them like she used to drop them albums, low key.
Come on now, like he turned into the Black Phillip Rivers. Like, if my football team ain't winning on Sundays, at least I'm making another football team during the week.
Hey. I just want to say, side note, after seeing Russell Wilson's first wife, and we're not going to get all into it, you couldn't have told me that's how he was going to bounce back. Sierra, of all of the NFL quarterbacks, I would have been like, all right, if you would have told me Sierra's going to date and marry and have a bunch of kids with an NFL quarterback, you know who I would have picked?
Who?
Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah, Atlanta,
that,
too.
That seems much more like her speed. Seems much more like her speed. Cam Newton.
Well, I think at one point it was, you know, coming then with Future and all, but
that's fair. That's fair.
You know, people grow. People grow over time and they mature and, you know. Speaking of Phillip Rivers, though, I think you make a great point about how hard it is to find good to great quarterbacks. And like, I just think the quarterback play is just, it's very iffy now. Like these past couple of years, like it's been very iffy. And I say, speaking of Phillip Rivers, because I think about Phillip Rivers when we were growing up, and like, he wasn't in that tier with Brady, Manning, and like, you know, Breeze and Rodgers, but like Phillip Rivers was in that second tier.
Yeah.
But that second tier with Phillip Rivers is like, that can win you a playoff game and that can upset one of these guys. You look at the second tier of these quarterbacks now, and it's like Dak, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy G was maybe in that second tier for a while. You know what I mean?
I feel like Kirk Cousins is like tier three.
So like my tier one obviously is like Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. Well, yeah, okay. So I'll give you Cousins like tier three, because then I'm thinking about like Herbert, Burrow, Josh Allen, guys of that echelon. But I just think, I totally agree with what you're saying. I just think the NFL is so loaded with like that top heavy talent that like once you get past like 9 or 10, are those teams past 9 or 10 like in this Russell Wilson situation where are you really content with your quarterback, or is it just a stopgap before you can draft who you think is a franchise quarterback or maybe be in the market to trade for a franchise quarterback?
What I've seen over the years is that a lot of teams, their thought is that if we can build the rest of the roster up around this quarterback, right? We don't need this guy to be a great quarterback. We just need him to be good enough to get the ball to our playmakers, and that's it. But the problem has become when it's time, like when it's time for the rubber to meet the road, that dude is still that dude. That was the entire idea for Minnesota in signing Kirk Cousins 6 years ago. And he got a guaranteed contract out of them. They had a great defense, Dalvin Cook, Kyle Rudolph at tight end, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen. They were like, hey, we don't need him to be Brady. We just need him to be good enough to get these balls to these dogs. And when the time came, fourth in the season, he going to throw short of the sticks, right? That's the hard part. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is the tough part about finding a guy. You know what I mean? Is that once you find a guy, you got to stay with him. And I even say, once you find a guy, we're not even talking about a guy like a Lamar Jackson or a Mahomes, right? Tampa saw Baker Mayfield and saw what he did for them last year. Was like, we ain't going to find no better than this out there in these streets.
No doubt.
That's how slim the pickings are. They're like, we can't do better than Baker Mayfield. And I think it's the craziest thing in the world, Ken, that in this era of football, with how young these kids start off with, like, these quarterback coaches and these specialists and these 7-on-7 camps and all this, like, super-duper, like, ultra-competitive little league stuff, that we can't produce 20 competent NFL quarterbacks, let alone backups.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a handful of dudes legitimately that should be, like, of the 32, maybe 16 or 17 of them, maybe half of them are starting caliber. Maybe.
Yep.
Maybe. And that's why this is so tough. You know what I'm saying? And that's why when I look at a team like Chicago, I'm wondering what on earth they are going to do, because they've got Justin Fields, but they've also got this number one pick in the draft. I think they're probably going to take Caleb Williams. But given the fact this is going to be the third quarterback in 7 years they've drafted in the top 12, what assurance do we have that Caleb, they're not going to be back here in 4 more years? You know what I'm saying?
Right. And then, like, what is the, like, what's the market for Justin Fields? Russell Wilson goes to Pittsburgh. Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. So, like, who else is really in the market to trade for a young quarterback? The Raiders?
They just signed Gardner Minshew.
Which, again, we talk about slim pickings.
Minnesota would be, like, the only place I can think of off of the top of my head. Minnesota. Because my thing with Justin Fields is it's obvious, like, this guy has some talent. It's pretty obvious. This guy is pretty doggone talented, right? Now, who is going to fix the fact that he holds on to the ball too doggone long? Who can fix that problem, right? Like, that's a you thing. You know what I'm saying? I thought Atlanta would have been a great place for him. Bijan, Kyle Pitts, Tyler Algiers, Drake London. It's like, all right, they got guys, real deal dudes. And my thought was, if I was Atlanta, I would rather, like, long term, I think Justin Fields has a higher ceiling than Kirk Cousins has.
Totally agree.
And might I add, let's just talk about Arthur Blank here for a second.
I was just about to bring it up.
You know, Ken, how, you know, when folks start getting old, they start making silly decisions and they don't know what they're doing anymore. You know, once they're not putting their protein powder in the oatmeal, they just, things start going awry. Can anybody explain to me how on earth you don't want Lamar Jackson, but you willing to give Kirk Cousins 180 million of them things? Like, you don't want who is now a two-time NFL MVP. But Kirk Cousins at 35 coming off an Achilles tear, sign me up.
I don't get it.
Here's what's worse. They decided, you know what? We don't want Lamar Jackson. We going to stick with Desmond Ridder. Like, going into the NFL season with Desmond Ridder when Lamar Jackson was available is a choice. A choice. So, with Atlanta, they're kind of basically doing the exact same thing that New Orleans did last year in signing Derek Carr. I don't think all of these teams, their goal is to win a Super Bowl, if that makes sense.
It can't be.
Some of them, their goal is merely, I think, like 8-8, 9-7, like competent. You get where I'm going?
Yeah, no, based on a decision like that, like, you knew that New Orleans signing Derek Carr, they're not trying to win the Super Bowl. Atlanta signing Kirk Cousins. And, like, I totally agree with you. I'm looking more like on the, like, Justin Fields has untapped potential. You get him playing back at home, playing in a dome, right? Not the cold, windy weather in Chicago, right? You got some young, talented pieces around him that maybe you can mold in, and then hopefully you can build around him and the young pieces if he shows promise in Atlanta. But you're signing a 35-year-old who, like, we just said that we all know what Kirk Cousins is going to bring to the table. Like, he going to be good. And they, you know, looking at that division, they might win it, them, you know, them in Tampa Bay. But to what end? To what end will that get you? Like, him and Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts, like, fourth or fifth seed in the NFC until hangs it up in 2 to 3 years? And then what?
The goal should be, we always say the goal should be to win when your quarterback is inexpensive. Atlanta's thought is to win while Algiers, Bijan, Kyle Pitts, Drake London are inexpensive. That appears to be the thought. Like you said, how much winning you going to do with Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins was in Minnesota for 6 years. They made the playoffs 3 times. They won a playoff game once. There's a clear ceiling to this. And I think what a lot of these teams, I think they view themselves, we're a quarterback away, we're a piece away. Like, if we add a quarterback, it's like add water and boom. A lot of them saw what happened with Tampa and Tom Brady. But the difference is, dudes ain't Tom Brady. Nothing close. Now, I want to ask you this. How much better do you think Saquon makes Philadelphia?
It's kind of tough to tell. Like, obviously, it looks like a big splash. But, you know, how much does it really make them better? I don't know how much it truly changes things for Philadelphia. Like, he's going to be good, and him and Jalen Hurts will be dynamic back there. And I'm sure they'll have some things that they draw up. But, like, I don't know how much that makes Philly better. I like Saquon. I don't love him. Like, he's never really just, like, popped off my screen consistently like that. He makes big plays for sure. Consistently popping off my screen. It wasn't when I saw the notification that came across my phone, I was like, I thought he was going to go to the Texans, and to which I thought that kind of would have been better. But I was like, oh, okay, he went to Philly. It wasn't like, oh, he went to Philly. He went to our division rival. Now we got to see him again two times a year. Like, no, I'm not scared of Saquon.
I think the thing to me that I'm thinking about is with running backs, age.
Absolutely.
He turns 28 next February.
Already torn a knee.
Realistically speaking, he probably has what? One really good year left in him. Maybe two, maybe. Because my thing with running backs is, and this is really like the NFL in general. In the NFL, you only really hit free agency when you're really about to go downhill.
No doubt.
Right? Like, look at Ezekiel Elliott right now.
He's done.
Done for. And we knew he was done for, right? My big question for the Eagles is going to be this. Can y'all figure out why at the end of the season, y'all didn't look like y'all wanted to be there anymore?
Right.
Like, what was it? I've never seen a team fall apart quite like that. We've seen teams have really hot starts and kind of taper off at the end, but they fell off a cliff. Mm-hmm. They fell completely off of a cliff. And the question for me is coaching. Nick Sirianni. And the reason I say that is, can they get Jalen Hurts back to where he was in 2022? Because he played fairly well given the circumstances. He looked really banged up offensively, schematically. They didn't really change anything from the year before, which was part of the problem. They were running the same exact stuff and they didn't really add any new layers to it and people adjusted to it. Right. But can the offensive coordinator get them together? Because I think the most important thing that happened during Nick Sirianni's run there was when he stopped calling the plays. So yep. Do you remember that first year? Like Sirianni in year one, it was his first time calling plays. And talk about stuff. Look, good to be white. Black man don't call plays. It's a demerit. White man don't call plays. No problem at all. Right? Nick Sirianni's first time calling plays when he's the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. The first 6 weeks, it does not go. It goes poorly. He hands the reins over to Shane Steichen. Hands the reins over to Shane Steichen. They overhaul the whole situation. Now they're running the ball, play action, deep shot in it, read option in it. It gets really creative. Looks got really fun to watch. They ended up making the playoffs. They add A.J. Brown to that. They have a full off season, and Jalen Hurts takes a huge leap. Shane Steichen leaves and the offense kind of stalls out. Are they going to be able to figure out why they stalled out and add new layers with Kellen Moore?
Oh, I forgot Kellen Moore was in Philadelphia.
Because that is too right. And I will say this, when Kellen Moore was calling those plays for the Cowboys for those several years, I loved the way like he was able to motion shift and scheme his players open and get Tony Pollard and CeeDee Lamb, get those guys in good spots to get them the football so they can run in space. There's no reason why you have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, Saquon, Jalen Hurts, a good offensive line, why they should not be able to move the football. There's no reason why they shouldn't. And with Nick Sirianni, I'm going to say this, and we're going to probably talk about this more as the season comes up, there's a very good chance 3 to 4 coaches in the NFC East could get fired. If this don't go well, Brian Daboll going to be out of there. Sirianni going to be out of there. And I don't know about y'all, what y'all going to do with Mike McCarthy. Y'all just seem content to win 12 games and crash out the first round. I don't know.
He should be on the hot seat too.
If the Cowboys start 0-2, what happens?
I don't think if they did fire him, I don't think they'd do it midway through the year. Like, I think any firing they would do would be after the year.
Because the last guy they fired midseason was Wade Phillips, if I remember it right.
Yeah, it's been a long time for that.
But I go like him. Every 3 or 4 years, it's a Cowboys show season.
Well, something happens. Like, you know, like the...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Especially after a good year. Especially after a good year, too. Like, you know, the Dez catch or no catch. The next year, Romo gets hurt. You know, we have that really good year with Dak and Zeke rookie year. Then Zeke gets suspended 6 games.
2019.
Was that
2020?
What happened that year?
2019. Oh, that was the year Jason Garrett got fired.
How did I not remember that momentous occasion?
That was the one. That was a year. It was like to win the division, they went to Philadelphia. Philadelphia went out. They were like Boston Scott, Greg Ward, J.J. Arcega. And the Cowboys couldn't stop them.
PTSD. I thought I eliminated that from my brain.
I'm sorry, Kennedy. I'm bringing up bad memories.
Tony Pollard's gone. Yeah, I think he's gonna get. I think he's got that. It's gonna be the same thing. Like I think he's actually about to have a career arc like DeMarco Murray. I don't think there's much more of a ceiling anymore for him. I think he is what he is at this point.
But I mean, the thing with Tony Pollard was Tony Pollard should have never been cast as the lead back. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Like Tony Pollard, I don't know if you remember Michael Turner. Remember Michael Turner used to play for the Falcons?
Yeah, for Atlanta, yeah.
Right, right. But Michael Turner was never like the lead back. He was always paired with somebody else. He was always in this like this complimentary role. That's what's best for Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard is not a 20-25 carry guy. Tony Pollard might give you 10-12, you know, a couple catches out of backfield, kick return, you know, get him the ball in the multiple ways. It's not, it shouldn't just be, we go hand you the ball 22, 23 times, you know, and you go run power left
and
counter
think,
right.
I think what also hurt is like that injury in the playoff game against the 49ers, because he didn't have that same explosion. I said this before on the podcast, but like he had a different burst. Like once he hit that second level, he was gone. And like this year, I rarely saw him explode through the line of scrimmage, get past defenders, and then break away. He almost never broke away. And if he did, he got caught. Like I think that kind of hurt him. I agree with you. I never thought he was a lead back, but he did have an explosiveness to where if we can find a way to somehow get him the ball 20 times in this game, then we should be pretty good. Maybe not just handing it off to him and just going up the middle, but putting him in motion, putting him in certain spots, getting him the ball on tosses and things like that. But that one didn't affect me either when I saw that he was gone.
Now, we'll say one running back move that was very interesting, and this is how you know he was in it for the money. Josh Jacobs going from Vegas.
That is crazy.
To Green Bay.
I'm glad the Packers got rid of Aaron Jones because he does us dirty every time we see him. God, I'm so glad that he is not in the green and yellow anymore. Like, oh. But yeah, no, that one was surprising. That one was surprising getting Josh Jacobs. I'm interested to see where Derrick Henry ends up, partially because I want him in a Cowboys uniform.
Why?
Why do I want Derrick Henry in a Cowboys uniform?
He's like 30, ain't he?
I agree with you on your take on running backs, because I usually have that same one. But there are certain ones that are a different mold. And like Adrian Peterson was able to kind of fight Tom for a while. And I think Derrick Henry is a little bit of that same mold. Now, we talk about the carries and the load that he's had since high school. He's been toting that rock for a long time and a lot of yards. However, we used to have a saying about Zion on here that I will not repeat, that you'd pay a pretty price for somebody like Zion in a different time and age.
Yes, yes.
Derrick Henry is of that same mold.
I'm glad you decided to class that up. Thank you, because I was like, what is he? Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Yes.
Don't take us back to those Gateway apartments today. We just let it fly.
That's the last comment that I'll make on that. But I think he does not need to be featured as a lead back. But I think if you bring him in and you maybe draft like a speedster guy, or maybe Deuce Vaughn shows some progression, he can split time with somebody.
I don't know what you expect out of Deuce Vaughn, unless Deuce Vaughn grows.
He's like a scat back. But like, you'll get Derrick Henry. Like, we missed Ezekiel Elliott in short yardage situation and red zone situations to be able to get in the end zone. And I think Derrick Henry, at the least, can provide that.
So I actually just looked it up. Derrick Henry, for like in his NFL career, 2,030 carries, 155 receptions. Let's go back to college.
Toting that rock.
Oh, breaking news. Austin Ekeler to the Commanders.
Oh. That's pretty good. They're kind of stacking up. They're spending some money.
I think Washington is going to be a team. Dan Quinn is going to raise the floor for what they are.
Oh, for sure.
The last couple years, like Washington, we've been laughing at Washington for years.
Yeah, irrelevant. They've been irrelevant for the last couple years.
You might beat them, but you're going to have to work for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to really make you work, because they're going to play hard. They're going to be tough. They're going to be physical. You know how, like, with Alabama, like, plays Mississippi State or somebody, and they're like, yo, this is not should not be a game, but Mississippi State, they're gonna come, they're gonna play tough, they're gonna be physical, they're gonna come to play.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm expecting out of Washington this coming year with Dan Quinn.
Yeah, I think they're gonna be better. And you know, they took a couple of Cowboys players, like they took Dorrance Armstrong, I think, and they took our center Piatish. So they'll be better. And I mean, they got talent. They, you know, they have some talent over there anyway.
Are you tired of the stress and hassle of tax preparation? Well, look no further. The experienced tax consultants at Cambryce Tax Consultants are here to help you navigate the complex world of taxes. They offer expert tax preparation services for individuals, small businesses, and real estate investors. From maximizing your deductions to minimizing your tax liability, they have got your back like chiroprac. Don't wait until the last minute. Call them today and let them take care of all of your tax needs. You can contact them at 901-605-4925. Again, that's 901-605-4925. Or you can visit their website at www.cambrycetaxconsulting.com. Again, the website is www.cambrycetaxconsulting.com for more information. Trust them to handle all of your tax needs so you can focus on what really matters. Cambryce Tax Consulting.
One last thing before we get out of here. Here we go. So one last thing before we get on out of here, just a little bit of NBA, just a little bit. So Ken, your man LeBron, he hit 40,000 points. And we are at the point now where LeBron is starting to talk about retirement and things like that. And, you know, should he do a full retirement tour, or will he just, or is he just going to wake up one day and Tim Duncan it? Right. And I just want to say for the record, the idea that LeBron James has ever sat back anywhere, be like, what would Tim Duncan do? Ain't been a moment of his life where he's ever been like,
he's definitely doing a retirement tour.
Absolutely. And well, he should.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Sure. I think that he should. But let's be honest. LeBron's ego is so outsized. There's no way that he wouldn't do this. Like when he said he doesn't, it's weird for him to how to take praise or whatever. It feels odd for him. I'm like,
yeah, that was cap. That was cap.
Who do you think you're fooling, sir? Who? did it sound good to you when it came out of your mouth? Did that sound good? I'm like, bro, when they introduce you at the All-Star game, you're putting the crown on. They make goat nose when you walk into the locker room. You know, like, oh, guys, stop. You
got the chosen one tattooed on your shoulders.
The only reason this man is still playing is because he wants to unequivocally, like, stamp it in people's heads that he's a better basketball player than Michael Jordan. That's the only reason he's still playing. Let's be honest, because he ain't winning nobody's championships. For me, the whole GOAT conversation, I really don't like having it. For the people that think Michael's the GOAT, or for the people that think LeBron is the GOAT, there is nothing that you will be able to say or do, or any sort of statistical evidence that you'll be able to produce that will convince them otherwise, or convince them to go to the other side. There's none. So for the people who think LeBron James is a GOAT, like you, Kennedy Miller, he's going to be merely preaching to the choir. For the people who think Michael's the GOAT, there's nothing LeBron is going to be able to do. What? Short of winning 7 championships? Well, like, you know what I'm saying? So like, and the big reason I brought this up is that this whole concept that Bronny might enter the NBA draft this year, I am more convinced, and I want to hear what you think about this, Kennedy. This whole Bronny playing with LeBron is more about LeBron and his ego than it actually is about Bronny playing with him.
I don't want to see him on the same team as LeBron. I do think, especially with the rule now, that you can like end up like taking it back if you want to go into the draft, if you still want to go back to school after you look at your projections. I think he should at least try it. I do think, like, somebody made a good point, like obviously you cannot compare him to his dad, but it's also he's not going to be a star in the NBA either. He ain't D-Wade, but he could be a solid role player. I think I saw one of his pro comparisons like Gary Harris. Well, Gary Harris done made $100 million in the NBA. If he ends up being Gary Harris, he had himself a great career. It's tough because he's almost in unfamiliar territory. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, this is the first superstar who's about to have a son that plays in the NBA, like, and is actually kind of good. Like, that's getting this much media recognition. Like, we've seen, like, NBA players have sons that play, but, like, the first superstar, like, not Magic, not Larry.
Right, I see what you're going. So, like, because I'm thinking now about, like, Steph Curry's clearly become better than Dale.
For sure.
Right. Like, because I'm like, Steph and Dale, like, if Steph and Dale played together, it wouldn't have been that big of a thing. Because Dale
Hardaway, was just like, Tim Hardaway and Tim Hardaway Jr., maybe.
They, like wasn't what?
Was a star, but, you know, yeah. Like, I'm talking about like the elite of the elite, like no Magic, no Larry, no Mike, no Wilt.
No matter what Bronny does, he's never ever going to be his dad because there's never there's like only one other player in the history that has ever picked up a basketball that is comparable to being as good as his father is.
Exactly.
Right. So like the game is already rigged against him as it is. If I was him, I'd be playing like baseball or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be doing something totally different that my daddy ain't got nothing close to do with, because you're never going to be able to be as good as he is. You know what I'm saying? That's one piece of it. And I don't think LeBron is doing him favors, right? Like when he was tweeting about like Bronny could play in the NBA now, and he hadn't even like stepped on the floor in college yet. Like there was that piece of it. And then for me, my thought is Bronny needs to stay in school as long as he can. This was clearly not somebody who's like, is going to be a one and done guy. No, it wasn't ever what it was going to be. I think if Bronny makes it to the NBA, it's an accomplishment. Should he go to try to go to the NBA now? Not at all. You averaging 5 points on a team that's 11th in the Pac-12. You're not good enough to start on a sorry team in college. You ain't got no business in nobody's NBA. Right now, none. Because, like, what would he do? Go undrafted, hypothetically, or end up in the G League? Realistically speaking, like, there's no way he shows up next year and contributes to an NBA team. Especially if you can't contribute to winning at the college level, why would I expect you to be able to do that at the pro level? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think he would. I think if he went out, he would get drafted. Maybe not, probably not first round. But the only way I think if he went undrafted, it's kind of like an Austin Reeves situation where they decided that the undrafted situations would be better. Like, but what, 30 NBA teams? Somebody going to take LeBron's son in 2 rounds? Somebody going to take him just for them. Like we said, some of these owners, they don't care about winning. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be a first round pick, but to go 60 spots, and this is not Luka Doncic, DeAndre Ayton, Trey Young draft. Like this, can you name me who's supposed to be the number one pick? I can't. Like that, it's not like this is a very strong draft class where he could really get pushed down the boards. Yeah, his college stats are not good. His team is not good. But let him go in an NBA combine and jump 40 inches and knock down 75% of open threes around the court and then show like terrific speed. Somebody will be like, with a second round pick and the Rich Paul and Clutch and all them talking to all them, somebody going to take him. Now, contributing after that is a great question. Like I see it, and he was better than him, but I didn't think Austin Rivers should have went out after his freshman year. Like he hit a game winner against North Carolina, which really upped his stock, but I didn't think he was ready. And he ended up almost being out the league until his daddy, you know, traded for him. But then he turned himself into a serviceable role player. Like I would say he had a pretty solid career. And I think that's where Bronny will probably end up. Like he'll be a role player. I think he's going to be a 3-and-D guy. He's pretty quick. And I think he's got good basketball IQ, which I think a lot of these dudes don't have.
I don't think people have an appreciation for how hard it is to make it into the NBA.
Very true.
Like there are less than 400 active roster spots in the NBA. Like that means you are one of the best basketball players on the planet. Forget being Kyrie, LeBron, a KD. If you just make it to the league, if you Devontae Graham, you cold as hell. Like you can hoop. You Kelly Oubre, you cold as hell. If Bronny just even makes it there, that is a win in and of itself.
I agree.
And for me, what I struggle with is that how much of LeBron wanting to play with his son is about LeBron and his own ego, right? Like how much of this is really about you and something that you think would be cool? Because I question, have you asked your son if he want to play with you? Have you asked him? Personal story time, right? So Ken, you know this. I'm not sure how many of our listeners know this. My parents have PhDs. And so when I finished my PhD in political science in last May, a few years before, my dad had talked about, he's like, oh, son, I want to like hood you, right? Because that's like the big thing, right? They put the hood on your doctoral hood and it's like, oh yeah, congratulations, you got a PhD, right? And my dad, he had, like when I first got into the program, he had said he wanted to do that. You know, as much as I was struggling at first, I wasn't even thinking that far into it, right? I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds cool, whatever. I really wasn't tripping, wasn't really thinking much about it. But when the time came, like he mentioned that at like the beginning of the program, but he never really mentioned it again. And I asked him, I said, whatever, I thought you said you wanted to do da 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 da. He was like, yeah, that sounded cute to me, right? But then he thought in his head, he was like, that moment of you getting that PhD is about you. It's about you having this big accomplishment. And all of the attention should be on you. if I decide I want to hood you and I want to make it, you know, I want to hood you and not your advisor, whatever. He said, that's me making it about me. He said, so I just decided I'm going to sit my ass up in the stands with the rest of the parents and take pictures and clap. Is LeBron going to have a come to Jesus moment like that?
I hope so.
And here's why I also think it's terrible. Imagine being in your early to mid 20s in the NBA. You got millions of dollars and you stuck on the road with your daddy.
Yep.
Ken, could you imagine having that kind of money? Not even having that kind of money, just being in your 20s and, you know, hanging out and your pops over there.
Oh, at any job. Like, I mean, I love my parents. I'm sure you do too. Would you want to be working with your daddy? Like, we're in a game of competition and I'm working with my daddy? No, I'm not. No, I love my dad. You can compete with your team. I can compete with mine. We in the same city. It's love. We'll go out to eat. Da, 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 do all this. And then the way LeBron beat, like, the passive aggressive, and I got to be on the bench feeling that too? And you making tweets and it might be about me too? Is Bron going to trade his own son in January if things don't go right?
Hey, bro, why you playing? Imagine, you know who would suffer the worst under all these circumstances? Who would hate it the most? Past Bronny? Savannah? Oh, she would hate it because you know what she would have to hear? She would have to hear LeBron complaining about, and the boy didn't do this, and the boy did that, and he won't listen, and he won't do da-da-da. And then she got to hear from Bronny. Can you tell dad to stop? Like, dad doing too much. I mean, I'm just trying to flow. I'm trying to hang, and pop's doing too much.
Imagine as a teammate, like, you know Bron be getting on him, like, when they be messing up. But, like, is he going to do the same with his son? Oh, so you want to get on me for turning the ball over, but when he shoot a bad shot, you don't say nothing.
Tell your daddy, quit bothering me, bro. You know what I'm saying? Not tell LeBron. Tell your daddy. Tell your daddy to shut up.
Can you imagine if somebody like how KCP was playing when I was getting on KCP was on the team and LeBron's son was on the team? Do you know how chaotic that locker room would be at Crypto?
Oh, no,
you can't sit over here. The seat's safe for my son.
Bro, he wouldn't have to. Look, he'd be like, nah, KCP, this food ain't yours. He'd be not letting the meat like Michael Jordan was doing the Horace Grant. Now, this ain't yours. Brian need a little bit extra. Hey, kid, I ever tell you about the time. So when I was still at Prairie View, I ever tell you about the time I signed up for my dad's class and he made me drop the class?
Why he make you drop the class?
So I signed up for this class. It was like the history of slavery. And I'm like, okay, this class sounds real cool, right? Pop's teaching it. It sounds cool, whatever. This sounds real interesting. January come around, 2 weeks before the class is scheduled to start. My dad just like, he's like, hey, boy, come downstairs. I'm like, yo, what's up, Pops? Hey, man, you need to drop my class, man. I'm like, why can't take your class? Hey, man, you can't. No. We ain't about to do this here. He said, here's why. Everybody would think I'm about to give you an easy ride because you my son. No, he said, when in reality, I'm going to ride you harder than anybody else. Really kind of subconsciously to prove that I'm not going to give you an easy ride. An A for everybody else might be an A plus for everybody else might be a B minus for you. But then you would need to have somebody else have to grade your work, right? An independent person can grade your work or grade your essays or, you know, grade your exams and all this. And then if I'm giving you an 85 when everybody else got 95s and maybe you produce better work, then you're going to tell your mama. Then you're going to tell my mama.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, we're going to have a whole lot of problems. It's easy for you to just drop this class.
That's real.
And now that I'm older, now that I'm a professor myself, and I'm really thinking about it, I'm like, yep, he right. Because that ain't nothing but a disaster incoming. Nothing but one. So I'm hoping LeBron just chills out, decides, you know what? If the boy makes it to the league, he makes it to the league. If he don't, he don't. But if this is the reason why LeBron is hanging on and still playing, aside from him trying to prove he the GOAT, just go retire. Just, I know it pains you to hear me talk about LeBron like it's like, go on home. It's time.
I've accepted it. One more year, probably do one more year and then he's done.
I want him to go out while he still can play.
I hope to have a good year this year. So it'll be like more of an incentive to just leave out on top. But
by leave out on top, what do you mean?
I don't think they can win a championship, but I mean, if they can maybe get to a second round Western Conference final again, just don't get it done against Denver. Might just hang it up after that.
It's better for you to pull the car into the garage and take the keys out yourself than the car be on the side of the road smoking. That's
all. I agree.
And that is another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy Miller, my guy, thank you for hanging out with me again, man.
No problem. Always a pleasure.
So, man, where can the folks find you on Twitter, Instagram, all of that, man? I hear you. Yeah, hear you popping, man. Hear you popping.
Underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, that's underscore Kennedy Miller underscore.
You can find me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. Follow the Game Plan Podcast on Instagram at underscore the Game Plan Podcast. Again, on Instagram at underscore the Game Plan Podcast. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast, and we will see you guys next time.